Hello. Today's MedCast is on atrial fibrillation in the acute care setting. My name is Dr. Melissa Stiles at the Department of Family Medicine, University of Wisconsin. I'm joined here by Dr. Kathleen Walsh, clinical instructor. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Walsh.
Oh, thank you for the invitation.
What is your initial approach to a patient who presents with atrial fibrillation?
In the acute setting, we look to see whether the patient is stable or unstable. And what we mean by that is looking at the vital signs, heart rate, blood pressure, respiratory rate. Also associated symptoms, including shortness of breath, chest pain, dizziness. And then we ask questions regarding their past medical history, if there's any history of heart disease, hypertension.
You mentioned heart disease and hypertension. Are there any other risk factors for atrial fibrillation?
Yes, there are, including thyroid disease, either hypo or hyperthyroidism, lung disease, COPD, history of pulmonary emboli, and male gender and advancing age.
What are the major issues one needs to address in the treatment of atrial fibrillation in the acute setting?
When looking at the patient, you really want to control the rate. Many times their heart rate is above 130. You want to control that with medications. Then you choose between rate and rhythm control. You rule out secondary causes such as myocardial infarction, PE, thyroid disease, and then you also worry about prevention of systemic embolization.
Many people have questions about direct cardioversion in the acute setting. In what situations would this be indicated?
In those patients who are hemodynamically unstable, blood pressure is too high or too low, or those patients with acute ischemia on EKG tracing.
What are the main medications used for rate control?
The two main medications include calcium channel blockers and beta blockers. The other group of medication includes digoxin, but we primarily consider these in patients with hypotension and those with CHF. In patients with rapid atrial fibrillation, medications are many times given intravenously to control their rate and then subsequently put on an IV drip and then converted to PO medications.
There's been a lot of recent studies showing between rate and rhythm control that both are equal in terms of outcomes. But in what situations is rhythm control indicated, and what are the considerations for that?
Good question. Rhythm control should be considered for patients with persistent symptoms despite rate control and the inability to attain adequate rate control, or if patients prefer this option. Also, the timing. If the patient has been in atrial fibrillation greater than 48 hours or less than 48 hours with a history of mitral stenosis or a history of atrial thrombi, you will want the patient on anticoagulation for at least 4 weeks with a target INR of between 2 and 3. In addition, you want to obtain an echocardiogram, in particular a transesophageal echocardiogram, to assess the atrial size and also to rule out any type of thrombi that may be present. Atrial fibrillation for shorter periods of time have greater success in cardioversion. There are some protocols where cardioversion is performed earlier if there is a negative echocardiogram for thrombi.
So in summary, what is your bottom line for the treatment of atrial fibrillation in the acute setting?
Is the patient stable or unstable? Look at the vital signs. Do they have any underlying risk factors? And consider rate control with chronic anticoagulation, which is highly recommended for the majority of patients with atrial fibrillation.
Thank you very much. And that concludes our MedCast for today.